Hey everybody, Nathan Holritz, host of the Boca Podcast here. Welcome back to the Boca Podcast. This is actually a special edition of the Boca Podcast. We haven't done this but maybe once in the whole history of the podcast, but I had the recent opportunity to have a conversation with Jane Goodrich, Heather, and the team at Pixello, P-I-C-S-E-L-L-O.com, at Pixello for a Facebook group of theirs. And after the conversation, I thought, you know, this would be really good information, good content to post to the Boca Podcast community. And so here we are. We're going to do just that. This is a repost, if you will, a share of a conversation that I had with Jane, Heather, and the team at Pixello. By the way, Pixello.com, I love the clarity of their brand position. If you go to Pixello.com, you'll see this. Your all-in-one photography business software. We're changing the way photographers do business by making it easier than ever to manage, market, and monetize your business with one simple plan. So that's Pixello, in case you're curious. Make sure to go check them out. But I want to share this conversation about outsourcing or delegating editing. I know that you'll hear me bring up the topic from time to time on the podcast, but this is a little bit of a longer form conversation, and I think it will bring really helpful perspective and maybe help encourage you to go ahead and take that leap this season. Go ahead and outsource the editing of your photography business to Photographer's Edit so that you can focus on building your business and ultimately have time to give to your family, your friends, the important people in your life, and oh yeah, maybe watch a little more Netflix too. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Jane, Heather, and the team at Pixello.
So today we're talking about outsourcing. And as I said, like 5 seconds ago, we're here with Nathan at Photographer's Editing, and he's here to talk about Photographer's Edit and also the importance of outsourcing and how to get your life back, how to outsource, how to work with his team, how to work with just So I'm terrible at intros, obviously. Anyway, Nathan.
Thanks for letting me hang out with you guys. I do appreciate this. And just to be clear for anybody who's listening and or watching, I know that immediately, at least this is how it works for me. I've been in the photography industry for a long time. My ears automatically perk up when I hear the name of a company and you're like, oh shoot, now I'm going to be sold on this. You know, they're going to try to basically give me a sales pitch. And I just want everybody to know up front, this is not meant to be a sales pitch. What we're going to be talking about today is principles that are applicable in particular to outsourcing or delegating editing work, whether it's to an in-house team or an outside team like Photographer's Edit. But even beyond that, we're talking about the significant or the approach to delegation in general, which is ultimately probably at the center of getting our lives back as entrepreneurs. If we're trying to do it all ourselves, we're going to get overwhelmed because there's just a lot to get done as a business owner. So please know everybody up front, this is not going to be a big sales pitch. You don't have to turn us off for that reason.
Oh, that was great. That was great. And so it won't be a Q&A. It's going to be more about like how you sort of, why outsource? And I know there's two sort of sides and you can go into more of the photography side, but I know what I end up doing, especially during a busy season, is outsourcing some of the stuff around my house that I don't necessarily want to do in terms of laundry or getting food delivered, getting my house cleaned. But I think in terms of your business, it's also really important to outsource. And I do think you talk a lot about outsourcing, and I would love for you to just dive right in and what it is. Some people don't even know what outsourcing is, if that helps.
Sure. Well, and I'll just give 30 seconds of context for anybody who's listening and is like, who's this guy, Nathan? What does he do? Why why is he allowed to be telling me what to do about outsourcing? So I started in wedding photography back in 2001. I photographed weddings for about 10 years or so. During that time, I started a company called Photographer's Edit. It's a custom post-production house for professional photographers. And with my team, it built that into a multimillion dollar company. I also host a podcast called The Boca Podcast. And we are a podcast dedicated to photographers helping them build sustainable businesses, very much along the lines of what we're going to be talking about today. So that's just a little, a very, very brief background. But when it comes to outsourcing, I think at the end of the day, all of us, if we start a company, start a business, part of the reason that we do it, whether it's a large reason or just one of the many pieces, is to have more freedom. to have more flexibility in our lives, right? Because we all at the end of the day realize there's a lot more to life than sitting in front of a computer or playing around on our phone or even taking pictures as much as we might like to do that. So the question is, how can I run a business and still have a life simultaneously? And one of the ways to save, and probably the most effective ways to get more of that time back, to get more of that freedom and that flexibility back, is to delegate or to outsource certainly editing, but other aspects of your life and business as well. Outsource is kind of the generic term that tends to get used when it comes to the idea of handing your editing work over to another person or another company to do that editing work for you. But at the end of the day, what we're talking about is delegation. I'm handing a task, in this case, editing, over to someone else or over to a company like Photographer's Edit so that they can take care of that work for me. And it allows me to do a few things. You know, somebody listening or watching might say, why would I even care to outsource? I'm getting by okay. Like, I'm making this thing work. Few reasons. One is to actually be able to focus your time on things that will build your business. There are a lot of things that have to get done to enable your business to exist, granted, but there are only a percentage of those tasks that are actually helping you grow your bottom line. So increase the revenue, get more clients and increase the revenue. So editing as a photographer is probably the most time-consuming element of running a photography business outside of the marketing efforts. And so if I can get that off of my plate, what that enables me to do is to spend more time building my business. And I was a wedding photographer. So when I think about how I'm going to use my time to build my business instead of being in front of the computer editing, I was shooting as many as 30 or 40 weddings in a year. I then am going to go take some of that time and focus on building relationships with wedding coordinators, just as one example, in my market. I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's a relatively small market, but we built our business to a place where we were photographing weddings for as much as $7,000 to $10,000 a piece. In order to get that kind of business, though, a lot of that business came from referrals, certainly from clients, but in particular from wedding coordinators. And we developed a relationship with a girl named Taylor, a coordinator here in town, incredibly talented individual and business owner. And we developed such a great relationship with Taylor that she would literally bring clients to our office, sit them down on one couch. I'm sitting here, she's sitting over there. And I didn't even have to say a word. She would literally sell my photography business or my photographic services for me. I didn't even have to do that. That was the kind of relationship that we had developed with Taylor. Now, in order to have that kind of relationship, I need to have the time to invite Taylor out to coffee and to begin conversation that will lead to not just a transactional relationship, but an actual relationship, a personal relationship as well. Maybe I want additional time to go photograph family portraits. My business partner at the time actually did this for Taylor, would photograph her family for her, and we're able to add value to their lives that way. So in order to have the time to build that kind of relationship that is going to lead to me building my business, I can delegate or outsource my editing work. It frees up hours and hours and hours of my time, 12 to 16 hours on average per wedding. I can delegate that. And that means now I have a lot more time to go spend building the relationships and getting involved in the networking meetings and doing the things ultimately they're going to lead to more clients and more revenue as a result. So that's the number one benefit really for outsourcing, or at least the most obvious one as a business owner. Really what trumps that, if nothing else, what trumps that particular reason is time for relationships. I have two kids. They're currently 21 and 18. My son's a junior in college. My daughter is a senior in high school about to graduate. But when I started my photography business, of course, they were quite young and involved in the photography business. They were quite young. And so it was important that I was able to hand that busy work of editing off to somebody else so that I could have more time, more freedom, flexibility to spend with my kids. Of course, I also, that it gives me more time to spend with a significant other, with other friends and family members. But having that time, I think it's kind of easy to forget. We're so head down in our business. We're focused on building our business. It's a good thing. But we got to remember at the end of the day, a business is not our identity. It just happens to be something that we do. And what we really need to make sure that we prioritize, it's what we're left with at the end of the day, is the relationships in our lives. And being able to delegate editing, one of the most time-consuming elements of a photography business, to somebody else or to another entity like Photographer's Edit, enables me to have the time to focus on the important relationships in my life. And then the third kind of benefit here is the freedom to be able to do something that you enjoy besides work. I get it. Most, if not every photographer listening in or watching might enjoy photography an incredible amount. They love running a business. That's awesome. But there's also a lot more to life than running a business. Again, it's something that we do. It's our means to an income, but it's only an element of life. There is so much to be had, to be enjoyed out there. We're lucky enough to live in a world where that is, there are tons of opportunities to do a lot more than just work. I personally like to ride motorcycles. I like to play soccer. I like to read. I like to travel. And certainly, again, to spend time with the important people in my life. So outsourcing editing or delegating editing enables me the freedom, the flexibility to do something besides work. And again, that's that kind of flexibility is what I was looking for when I started my own company.
Yeah, I think that that is so key. I stumbled across and I think I was very, it sounds bizarre, but I think I was a year into my photography business and I ended up in the hospital, and it was right around busy season where everyone wanted their photographer, you know, their holiday cards and everything. And I was just laid up in bed. And my sister happened to find an editor. I was like, I just got to edit. And so it wasn't you at the time, I'm sure. I don't know how long you've been around, but it was back in 2011. Mm. And I got the images back and I was like, they're actually better than mine, right? I was like, they've done something so well. And so I was still new. So I was like, I'm not going to edit. I'm still going to edit. And then 3 months after that, I was like, you know what? I'm getting busy. It's spring season. I'm going to look into that again. And then I ended up finding an editor that I worked with for 7.5 years. She didn't cull. And then I ended up being like, I'm culling. No one else is culling my images. Yeah. But a friend of mine, she was very overwhelmed and she had just done a wedding and she was like, I just need to cull that wedding. And I was like, just give it to me. And I was like, this is, and she was like, I can't believe you picked all the best ones. And I was like, it's so much easier when you're not so personalized in it.
Right.
And so then I was like, I'm going to look into culling. Someone can cull for me. I do. So mine is like, I do a first cull, get rid of the ones I know I don't want. Then I have a very strict list and I know you'll probably go into it. And I kind of, at the beginning of any sort of outsourcing, I sort of do a test of like what I would have done. Same with editing. Like, this is my edit versus theirs. And I'm like, oh, they're better than me. And then the culling, I'm like, actually, they picked better shots. And so it's like it's a game almost. It's like, I don't recommend anyone starts it in October, even though they probably do. But like, get used to the editor, get used to the back end style. But I think I stumbled across it in a really weird way, but I highly recommend it. I think it's so important and it really then gives you the time to even like weirdly shoot differently, because you know I'm going to not overshoot because I'm going to have to pay someone per image, and then it saves your camera. It actually makes you a better photographer. You're going to try and get it better in camera versus like then spending 4 hours on fixing everything in Photoshop. And so I think it's like one of the hidden gems. Plus, it's a completely different skill than a photographer, being a photographer. Yes, you should sort of know how to use Photoshop, but it's completely different. So
there is, and you bring up a couple of interesting points there, Jane. There is, just because we know how to do something doesn't mean that we should necessarily be doing that right. That particular thing. And I'm going to kind of build on that idea here in just a second. But the other interesting point that you bring up is this feeling, the sensation that we have as so-called artists, that this is my baby. This is the thing that I need to do. I need to have my hands in. I need to touch. I need to be involved or my client's not going to be happy. And number one, 98%, let's just call it, of our clients really don't actually understand, nor do they even care about the nuance, details, and differences that we so closely analyze at 300% in Lightroom and Photoshop. The way that we do, right? That's for us. And that's great. In fact, I would continue to encourage photographers to refine their craft, how they're approaching taking a photograph, how they're approaching interacting with their clients for the sake of capturing a great photograph, how they think about composition. And of course, the list goes on. It's not about compromising on the quality of the work that we're delivering to our clients. But when, as artist types, we're like, I can't let go of that. A lot of that misnomer of I can't let go of this or my client's going to be unhappy is driven by thought process, which is actually a bit of a misnomer, which is that the clients are going to notice the difference between, as you point out, a professional editor who does this as a specialty,
right,
and ourselves as a photographer. We are a photographer, by the way. That is our primary role. The editing and the accounting and the album design and the email answering and all these other things, it's part of running the business, but that's not our primary role. And so it's okay to let that thing go. And I'll just add as an additional caveat to this point, that is that it's not an either or suggestion.
Right.
There's a conversation actually that my girlfriend and I have been having for the last 3 or 4 months. We kind of jokingly throw this phrase back and forth at each other, which is both and. This is not, you know, we have a tendency in our culture and societies to kind of go to the extreme end of a conversation or the other. Mm-hmm. The reality is it can be both and. In this context, we can both be an artist and an intelligent business owner or an intentional business owner. What that means in this case is that I can choose to delegate or outsource the bulk of my editing work, right, and still maintain a bit of that. Maybe you want to process a few images for social media or a few images for the blog. That's great. And in fact, one of the things we encourage our clients at Photographers Edit to do is go ahead and process some of those images yourself. If you want to give our team a further frame of reference,
right,
you can do that in your Lightroom catalog. When you send that to us, our team will have those images as a point of reference when they go to, right, process the rest of your images. So this is not an either or proposition. You got to throw your artistic tendencies or preferences outside the door. Photographers Edit is actually about custom image editing. We match your style and you can still have your hand in that, but then give us the bulk of that busy work so that you don't have to do that. So that's kind of a correction of one misnomer. There's another misnomer when it comes to editing and outsourcing and just delegation in general, that I continue to hear this in the photography industry. And I think it needs to be corrected because it's a bit simplistic. And that is, outsource what you don't like to do or what you can't do, and do the things that you like to do or that you can do. And that's really, really kind of short-sighted when it comes to thinking as a business owner, because I could very easy and logically respond with, well, I like to watch Netflix. So does that mean that I need to sit around and watch Netflix for 5 hours a day or 12 hours a week, you know, for comparing it to editing? The idea that I'm simply going to choose to do something or not do something based on whether or not I like to do it is extremely short-sighted, and ultimately it's limiting when it comes to building a business. So the bigger question is, what is it? And it's a deep one. It's a big one. What is it that you want to accomplish with your life? Who is the person that you're attempting to become or that you're trying to be? What are your values? We start there. It's super deep, I realize. Big picture thinking though, who do I want to be? What's the kind of money that I need to make and want to make, the money I need to put aside, but then also the money I need to make to pay the bills? And then how much time do I want to spend making that money? And these are some of the bigger picture questions that I need to answer before developing a business model. But if you already have a business in place, being clear about the answers to those questions then enable you to more effectively choose how you're spending your time. If you're clear about those things for yourself personally, and then you have an idea, a structure of goals for your business, you know what it is that you're trying to achieve with your business. It's really, really easy to choose to delegate something like editing, because you'll realize, oh, you know what? This is largely irrelevant to both my personal goals and my professional goals. Mm-hmm. It's better that I get rid of this thing so that I can focus on the activities, the tasks that will actually enable me to reach, again, both my personal goals and my professional goals. So again, I realize it's a big ask. It's a deep conversation, but I would encourage everybody listening or watching to actually take the time. It's a great exercise personally and professionally, mm-hmm, to come up with what I call a big picture view. There's a book by Julie Morgenstern called Time Management from the Inside Out. She says the most successful people in life have a big picture view that enables them to rise above the chaos and maintain perspective. And look, what's that?
It's a great book.
Oh, you've read it? Yeah, absolutely good book.
It's on my list. I haven't read it yet, but everyone keeps talking about it. So I guess
definitely
I
get a copy. Yeah. I think we can all kind of relate to the idea of chaos, right? As business owners, all these different moving parts to running a business. And the reality is that we can move beyond that so-called chaos if we develop that big picture view that I was just referencing. And that will better help us or enable us to make the decisions about how we're spending our time, including something like editing. So I just wanted to clear up a couple of those misnomers. You can be both an artist and a business owner. And it's not necessarily the best frame of reference to make your decisions about how you're spending your time, just simply based on what you like or you can do. You need to be making those decisions based on what your overarching goals are for your life and business.
And I love that, because I've heard that whole about what you like, what you can't like. My thing is I sort of saw it as what is a thing that I can only do, right? Hmm. Someone else can edit. Someone else can do my social media. Someone else can do my accounting. That's the first thing I outsourced, right? I am not skilled at accounting. That is going to be a complete waste of my time, even right. though I like to do TurboTax. No, I don't. But like, I like to edit and I like to do social media, but as my team know, I'm not the best at it. So like, what are the parts of the business that somebody can actually do better? And editing, I'll add another misnomer for you, is like, it's the loss of control. Mm-hmm. It's also like, well, no, because you can brief the editing team or your editor, whoever you find it, on your style, work together until, you know, say they don't do it right the first time. I had someone like adding vignettes. I was like, oh my God, please don't add vignettes. Like, you know, and then can you please make sure that this is done? But by a couple of rounds, it sort of got very close to what it was, and it mm-hmm. was like no one could tell the difference. But then I still do my tweaks at the end, and I still do my cropping at the beginning, and I still have some of that, but then I'm actually not doing the 10 hours of editing. I'm doing, you know, half an hour of it, and right. it's still mine, because I've just basically told somebody how to do my style. That's the one thing that I've heard too many times, is like, well, I need to edit because it has to be in my style. Well, it would be in your style. You work with the editor to make it your style. That's their job. Exactly. So that's the one thing that I wanted to say too, because I liked your point on what you like to do versus what you actually can only do. If you're going to look at it as like, well, I can only really photograph. Although I will say I have had a couple of associate shooters. So it's that's another thing that you can actually do down the road. We have to actually expand your business, but go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted, but I sort of wanted to add in that, I think, my comments on the editing too.
Yeah, it's good context. And we'll kind of build on that actually in these steps I'm about to share about how to have a successful experience outsourcing or delegating editing. And actually, most of these principles, again, are applicable just for delegation in general.
Right.
And I've been a business owner now for, you know, 20 plus years, and I'm still learning how to do this more effectively. So I'm right there with everybody that's listening and watching, but I'm going to go ahead and just share these. And the first step to a successful outsourcing or delegation experience when it comes to your editing work is something we already mentioned. So I won't go into too much detail again, but the significance of first establishing that big picture view. What is it that I want out of my life personally? And then what do I want from my business as well? Being clear about your goals as it relates to both of those entities is going to help in your decision-making process and really kind of free you up internally, psychologically, to go ahead and begin this process. And you're like, okay, I can let go, because I know that this step of delegating or outsourcing my editing is going to enable me to get closer to accomplishing both my personal goals and my professional goals as well. But it's important that we establish that so-called big picture view. And then number two, and I think this was already alluded to a little bit already, but this is a process. In fact, Jane, you commented on this just a little bit, but it's important to understand that anytime you're delegating something, you're giving a task or a set of tasks over to somebody else, you know how that process works for you. But the process of learning how to communicate what it is that you want to someone else, and the back and forth as you develop that working relationship, it is a process. And probably 95% of cases or more, it is a process. That means it's not going to be something that happens overnight. And understanding that will help manage your expectations going into this and help minimize the sense of frustration. Just understand going into this, this is a process of developing a working relationship. You're getting to know this person, or you're getting to know this company, their workflow, how to best work within that workflow. And then beginning to work with them as you're delegating whatever that work is to them and giving them feedback. And we'll talk about feedback here in just a second, but just understand that up front, and that will make for a much, much less frustrating process for everybody involved. If you understand that it is a process, it's not an overnight thing. Number three, and this is again applicable to not just outsourcing or editing, but also delegating really any task in general. And that is to be clear about what it is that you want. A lot of the frustrations, and we've been in business now at Photographers Edit since 2008. We worked with thousands of clients to process millions and millions and millions of images. And one of the common themes that we've noticed is that photographers will come to us. They've gone ahead and kind of taken that step, or at least the half step, to say, okay, I get it. I'm supposed to outsource my editing, or I should outsource my editing. I'm going to give it a shot. But rather than actually taking the time to understand, well, first to be clear about what they want and then to understand the process, they'll just kind of dump the images in our lap and say, okay, edit my images. They get the images back. And because they weren't clear about what they wanted to begin with, and then of course, as a result, able to communicate, and we'll talk about communication more in just a bit, but because they weren't clear about what they wanted up front, they weren't able to effectively communicate that information to us, and the finished product that they get back then doesn't match their expectations. And a lot of times they're not even clear about their expectations. So again, the point here is to be super clear about what it is that you're trying to accomplish. Anytime you're going to hand a task over, it doesn't matter if it's to your kid, you want them to do a chore in the house, or you're handing editing over to an editing company or an in-house intern or whatever the case might be, you need to be super clear about what it is that you want, because that will then enable you to more effectively communicate what you want. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. Editing style, when it comes to clearly understanding your editing style, I think photographers put a lot of times too much weight on the significance of editing style. The notion, the thought process is, well, I want to be unique. I want to stand out. The bit of irony and kind of honest conversation that needs to be had is that we have thousands of photographers who are mostly using the same Lightroom presets, Photoshop actions, the same process. And many times that is driven by the fact that we jump on Instagram and we're like, oh, I really like that editing style. What preset are they using? So they go use that same preset. We don't need to put too much weight on the so-called significance of having a unique editing style. This is more a conversation for us as photographers, our egos, our preferences, what it is that we're looking for, and not, it doesn't carry nearly as much significance for the end client as we like to think. It's something to keep in mind. But editing style, be clear about the finish for your images that you want: indoor, outdoor, studio lighting, mixed lighting. Be really clear about what it is that you want in all of those scenarios that you might be photographing in. And at Photographers Edit, the way that we enable this is for our clients to upload examples, images straight out of the camera, and then those same images processed mm-hmm. from a wide variety of lighting scenarios. That's so that great. Our team has a visual reference as to how this particular photographer likes to process their images. That's the starting point, actually, because, for example, a photographer can say, hey, I like a warm white balance. That means 100 different things to 100 different photographers, right? Yeah. So we start with the visual representation or reference, and that makes a really big difference. Of course, we enable our clients to also send us Lightroom catalogs, like we talked about, where they've already processed a few images so they can demonstrate what they're looking for. But anyway, the third step, be clear about what it is that you want. And of course, in this context, we're talking about your editing style. Be sure about that. If you're going to somebody else to create that style and then do your editing, again, that's going to complicate the whole process. Better to take the time to be clear about what it is that you want for that particular editing style. Have clearly established a preset, whether you've gone and bought one and then kind of customized that for yourself, or you just created one for yourself, your baseline preset that you want applied all to all of your images. That helps with consistency and finish. And of course, that will then enable you to do the next step, number four, which is to communicate what it is that you want. So if you're clear about what you want, now it's a question of how do I effectively communicate what I want to the person I'm delegating to or outsourcing to? Just to give you a kind of a concrete example, at Photographer's Edit, it does, as I mentioned, start with the process of sharing before and after images. So our team has a visual reference as to how the photographer likes their images processed in a wide variety of lighting scenarios, any lighting scenarios they may run into. And then we also ask for that Lightroom preset that I was just talking about. If there's a particular preset that you like applied kind of as a baseline finish to your images, then go ahead and share that so that we can apply that to the images before then we begin the processing. And that next step then is to ask the photographer, hey, what are your preferences when it comes to cropping and straightening? What are your preferences when it comes to culling, if you're going to have us handle the culling for you? What are your preferences when it comes to black and white, application of black and white to your images or not, whatever your preferences may be? What are your preferences when it comes to color? We know that you gave us this Lightroom preset and we've applied that as a baseline. Now we're going to go process your images. Do you have any particular preferences about what you're looking for when it comes to any particular tonalities, when it comes to levels of contrast? Do you want noise removed at a particular ISO? These are the kinds of details, the more details actually, the better, that photographers can share with us before we go process their images. So if you understand clearly what it is that you're editing or what your editing style is, that will then enable you to, you could literally take a piece of paper out or, you know, an Evernote document and just make a list of what your editing style or what your editing style is made up of. And then you'll be able to communicate that more effectively to the editor. And in this case, photographer's edit. And then once you've communicated that, of course, our team is able to process your images for you. But the next step gets missed a lot of times. And this is probably just as much, maybe if not more so than the confusion that I mentioned about what the photographer wants in the first place. Part of that process that I asked everybody listening and watching to commit to, that so-called process of establishing the relationship and communicating the back and forth, and ultimately establishing a really great working relationship for the end result of an effective outsourcing of your editing, is the importance of giving feedback. So you know what you want, you communicated what you want, the person or the team, in this case, photographers edit, processes your images for you. Once you get those images back, if there's something that you don't like about those images, then it's super important to give feedback about that. And, you know, I don't know if this is a kind of a corporate mentality that people are used to. Maybe before you started your photography business, you worked in the corporate world, and we all know how things in the corporate world just kind of get pushed under the rug and nobody really talks about it. We're all kind of bitching behind the scenes, but we're not actually talking about the frustrations that we might have. And the reality is that nothing really gets accomplished. There's no forward progress unless we're willing to take the time to communicate what the frustrations or the challenges are. So it's super, super important that when we get those images back, if they look great, awesome. Our team is super, super talented. So the expectation would be, as long as you communicate, you knew what you wanted and you clearly communicated what you wanted up front, you're going to get a great finished product back. But if there's something that doesn't quite match your expectations, don't just, you know, huff and puff and run away. At this point, this is a really great opportunity then to give feedback. We actually have a whole feedback module built into our system at Photographer's Edit. You get that order back, you can click on the appropriate emoji based on how you're feeling about this particular order and give us feedback, whether positive or negative. The positive feedback is an encouragement to our team. They're putting a lot of work in and a lot of hard work at that. But then if there's something you don't like, you just let us know specifically what that thing is. And so we ask for that feedback. What didn't you like about this? Were there instructions not followed? Was there a frustration with customer service? What's the frustration? And then if it has to do with editing, give us an example. Show us where the problem image is, and then show us a comparison contrast of how you would have processed that image. Again, that visual representation. Right. And if our clients are willing to take the time to do that, we're well on our way to an incredible working relationship. Just understand that you need to commit to that process. It's not just about getting the images back and expecting to get them right 100% the first time. It is a working relationship, an ongoing working relationship, and it requires that feedback, that communication after the fact, for the sake of continuing to build on that experience.
And I will add to that. I love the fact, I mean, I, you know, worked with Lynn, and I would always say when they were great, you know, I mean, it sort of reiterates also, you know, even though I worked with her for like 7.5 years, there was different lighting situations that I came up in, and there was a kid that had, you know, there was, you know, and it, something happened. She was just like, the color correction on these is killing me, right? You know, so she tried her best. And then I was like, I think we missed the mark on here. But on the whole, I'm like, you nailed it every single time, because then they want to work with you again. And then they know that is what the baseline is of what they did the last time. So the immediate, you know, it's similar to when we send our images to a client and it's radio silent. And you're like, okay, did you like them? Did you not?
Yes.
Like, you know, we all want to, you know, and I even say in my emails, I am a child and I need feedback. So please give me feedback. I hope you love them. I love them. But if there's anything that you want changed, I'm happy to change them. But either way, just let me know. And I always get feedback, you know, 99% was great. But then you get the person, you open that up to being like, well, I didn't like the way my husband was grimacing in every single photo. Sorry, that was your husband. Can't do anything about that. You know, do you want me to try and make it? But like, again, you know, it sort of is, then you can have a dialogue and then you can joke with a client. So it's basically trying to give people feedback along the way as much as you can, especially with editing, because you can even have a long-term relationship and that there's something off, or maybe they had a bad day. They're human, right? And so that's one thing that I've actually spoken to quite a few, and they're like, oh, we've tried some services, but then they're not right. I'm like, well, did you tell them they're not right? And they're like, no. And I was like, but that's kind of what the relationship is. You should actually say. But I had to re-edit most of them. And I was like, okay, well, then you just need to go back to them and say, hey, this is what I was expecting. I say exactly what, edit the one image. This is what I expect it to be. Mm-hmm. Send the Lightroom catalog back again and then go from there. And it's a working relationship. You know, you want to make sure that you have it. But I really like the fact that you're very clear at the beginning. And I do think when you're a newer photographer, it's hard to articulate on what you are expecting. So I love the fact that this is my raw. This is what I ended up with. This is what I like. So it's taking away. I mean, if your editor only had that to go from, they could go from it, you know, like, and, or if someone has a preset, I've never had a preset apart from this tone that I started in 2010 that no one can recreate. And I wish I never did it, but I did color black and white, and yeah. And I'm very picky about my black and whites. So I always tell people, I'm like the way I am about black and whites, but you have to communicate that, because someone's not going to nail it right off the bat. They just aren't, you know, because there's something that you do that you don't know that you're doing, right?
Right.
And so,
well, and what I would say, you know, you talk about the particular style that you had since 2010. What I would encourage,
I changed that.
You did change it. Okay.
Yeah.
Even the idea of not having a preset, I would encourage all photographers listening in, keep in mind that not only, as I mentioned earlier, do our clients or potential clients not pay attention to those nuanced details the way that we do. And again, there's nothing wrong with having a style and liking a particular look and feel, nothing wrong with it whatsoever. But when we're thinking about trying to build a business and how we're managing our time and what we're placing importance on and what we're allowing to stress us out,
right?
This finish on our images really doesn't need to carry the same weight the weight that we're giving it. And one of the reasons this is true is that trends change, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't very long ago that that's not only a film look is relatively still popular, film presets, Lightroom presets, but it was more specifically this weird green faded, like desaturated skin tones that were built into these presets that you were seeing so much. And it was kind of mind boggling, because literally the subjects, after the application of these presets, these subjects look dead. Yeah. And somehow the photographer thought, this looks really good. That's an extreme example, but the point that I'm making here is that there are trends. There may be editing trends in our photography industry that we're following because we like the look and feel of that, or our favorite photographers are doing it, or our friends are doing it. And again, not a bad thing per se, but those trends are going to come and go. The question is, in 5 years, in 10 years, those images, the way that you're processing them, are your clients going to still love them to death? Or are they going to totally date their images, as in make them look extremely old? Are their friends and family going to be laughing at them as they look at these images because they look so terrible? Jane, you mentioned the vignette effect earlier. There was a trend that was happening back in, I guess, maybe 2005, 2006, 2007, that was what we called a LOMO effect. And so it was essentially a Photoshop action that was meant to emulate Lomography, that had this very heavy film look and a green cast on it. And we started using it in our business. So I'm speaking from hindsight here. We started using it in our business. And one day I just happened to pick up a sample engagement album there in my office. And I opened the book and I look at it. I'm like, what in the world is this? And the lights kind of came on. I'm like, okay, this is, I did follow a trend. It was popular for a split second, but the reality is it's dating my images. It's actually making the images look bad. It's affecting skin tones, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it's going to date these images. And in 3 years, 5 years, is this actually going to look good for the end client? So as we're developing our so-called editing style, if we're going to spend some time on it, make sure, I would encourage photographers to develop a editing style that is, relatively speaking, is classic, as in it's going to look good now. It's going to look good in 5 years. It's going to look good in 10 years. This idea of blowing highlights or going super dark or applying this green film-like finish to the images, that stuff's going to come and go. Those the popularity of those trends, those looks, those feels are going to come and go. Are your images going to stand the test of time? And that's just something to kind of keep in the back of the mind. And the cool thing about that is, if you keep a relatively simple classic finish for your editing, it is way, way, way easier to delegate that editing somewhere else. Yeah. And it will simplify the whole process.
I ended up going with where I had the classic color, like that was just true to life, timeless, mm-hmm. black and white. And then I had this weird tone thing that I would put on. But then what happened was my clients actually loved that tone. And I was like, I hate that tone. Like I hated it. Mm. So it was a way, if I could have just done the classic and black and white, timeless. Yes. And sometimes we do want to, you know, we don't want to date ourselves that we're not trendy, but like there's a ways to do that, I think, without necessarily like doing the whole thing in that's going to date it. It's just,
No need to go to the extremes. That would probably sum it up.
I think the black and whites with the color selections are amazing. I just saw Jenny's comment. I love selective color.
Yes, another great example of a trend that came and went relatively quickly, and we all know.
I don't think it came and went quickly. I mean, my friend got married, and I saw her pictures. I'm like, what? She's like, oh, I like the black and white with the colors. I was like, no,
right.
And it does keep coming back. It's one of those things that resurfaces. But yeah, so keep it simple is basically, you know, if I think so too.
Yeah, there's a funny tendency that we have, and by the way, I'm totally guilty of this, as human beings to and it's almost like we kind of, I don't know, we build up this idea that we're complicated as human beings and we're complicated business owners. The reality is we're making our lives complicated. We're making our businesses complicated mm-hmm. a lot of times, unnecessarily so, right? At the base level, a lot of the stuff isn't actually that complicated. We just make it that way because it makes us feel good for one reason or another. No need to overcomplicate this process, especially when it comes to editing our images.
Yeah.
The reality is if we're taking good images to begin with, we're providing mm-hmm. a really great client experience. The editing is only a small piece of the whole puzzle when it comes to running our business. And if you clearly understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish with that editing, especially when you're keeping it simple, then you can easily delegate that out or outsource that work out to a company like Photographer's Edit.
That's great. What else did we have on our list for you, Heather?
I think that's it. I think that might be the first one to time.
Might be the first one to time.
I mean, yeah. Just the one thing I'll jump in and just say, I'm a non-photographer of the group, admittedly, and we're customer success for the team, and I've worked with Jane for years and Heather, but and so learning the business, but just even hearing everything you're saying, you know, is so relatable just as a human being, or just like being a small business owner and looking at the things that you feel like you need to control and overcomplicating. So I think that there's a future for you to sort of write a book about everything I learned in life. I learned it being a photo editor, because I think it's all completely applicable and so relatable. So I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
I'm glad. Yeah. Well, and maybe I'll just end with this, that for anybody who might see the video version of this, to behind me here, I'm actually videoing this, or I'm in my living room right now and just living a simple apartment. Behind me is my refrigerator. And on that refrigerator, there are snapshots, mostly of me and my kids, also with friends, significant other, et cetera. And those pictures, most, if not all of them, are actually taken with an iPhone, slightly blurry, not color corrected well, not framed or composed perfectly. I was a wedding photographer for 10 plus years. Working with high-end clients. I have a editing company now for 15 plus years. We specialize in being super detailed in particular. And at the end of the day, I couldn't care less that those images on my refrigerator are imperfect. I think it's important to keep in context. Again, it's very easy to kind of build up the significance of these little tiny details that are ultimately limiting us when it comes to running our business efficiently and more effectively. And of course, ultimately, enabling us to free up our time or not. If we put too much importance on things that actually don't matter, if we don't keep things in context or in perspective, it's going to be very, very limiting. Keep in mind that at the end of the day, you know, even for any photographers listening or watching, you know, some of the most important pictures in your life, they have nothing to do with being perfectly processed. What it is about making sure that you've got those images that represent the relationships and the important moments in your life. That's what's most important. So as a photographer, focus on providing those images to your clients. The cool thing, of course, is that if you're working on your craft, you're going to provide beautiful images. And then you can do something like outsource the editing, which is only a small piece of the puzzle of running a business. It's time consuming, but when it comes to importance, is not that significant. Go ahead and delegate that out. Let somebody else take care of that so you can focus your time and effort and energy on the things that actually matter, that will actually enable you to build your business. And of course, have the time to spend with those important people in your life.
Well, and I want to add, I love outsourcing editing, especially when it comes to baby acne, baby poop, because I'm a newborn photographer. Please, that baby finally got into that position and then just pooped everywhere. Cassie,
exploded. Yeah.
You know all about that. And I don't want to spend 3 hours looking at baby poop. And also in the fall when the kids, you know, runny noses, I'm like, I don't want to be spending my time doing that. I'm not the best at recreating some child's nostrils. I'm not. And I find even if you, and not saying that you shouldn't outsource, I do think it's really important to outsource accounting. It's really important to outsource as much as you can so you can focus on those business relationships and your photography. But I also found it as a real relief when you're on the shoot and someone's not brushing their hair or not wiping their kid's nose or not being in the right position. They're like, well, you can just Photoshop that. You can just do this. And when I turn around and say, well, I can just ask my editor how much that would be, then mom decides to wipe a kid's nose. So even if it just is really interesting of being, and they're like, you don't? I said, it's a completely different skill. I can do it, but there are people that are 100% better at me than me. And it takes the pressure off of then the mom actually then goes and brushes her daughter's hair and then goes wipes the kid's nose. And so it's and then it's also somewhat educating them that it's not just about the shoot. There are other costs associated with running a business. So I kind of like it in that respect too. A lot of people like to have the pride that they edit their own photos. Don't get me wrong. I crop, I do all this stuff. I have my own little weird way with my editing, outsourcing, but I still feel like I have control over my images, even though I'm having someone else do the bulk of it. Like, please fill in that, you know, and I know there's Lightroom content aware, but I can't be bothered with it. Someone else can do it. Right. So that's one I if anyone's on the call, I just highly, highly recommend outsourcing editing and especially culling. Because I can be down a rabbit hole for 4 hours culling. And photographers edit, I know we said it's not going to be an ad, but I do think you guys are the best in the business for it. So I just want to say that.
Thank you.
And I'm not sure if we'll have a link or something at the bottom, Heather, I'm asking you. But I really, really, I know everyone here really appreciates you being on the call and everyone else watching, just check out Photographers Edit. And anything Nathan does, he's got an amazing podcast, two now, right? One for newbies, Boca, and one for newbie. Tell us about newbie real quick.
We actually merged newbie into Boca.
Okay.
You know, a lot of what's interesting is a lot of the content that we were focused on producing for new photographers, a bit ironically and sadly, is content that established photographers aren't always paying attention to 100%. As well. So it made sense to kind of put that into, or make that one. And so Boca, the Boca podcast, BOKEH podcast.com. And you can search the same thing on any podcast player, literally, including YouTube, Facebook. You can see that, or you can watch that podcast. There's over 600 episodes of content and just tons and tons of it at that. Photographers Edit, just like it sounds, .com is where you can learn more about our editing services as well.
Cool. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Did we answer anyone's questions or they're just mesmerized by everybody?
Just mesmerized.
I think that was great.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, no, Jenny said that she wants selective coloring. I'm just kidding, Jenny. I hate you for that.
She jumped off. So your podcast, it's Boca. Where does that name come from? When I was doing research and stuff. I'm sorry, just off subject a little bit, but
it's no. It's a great question, actually. So the original word is bokeh. It's a Japanese word, actually, which represents the kind of blurring out, the softening of the background and kind of consumer terms, portrait mode, if you will. So what we're becoming familiar with when it comes to taking a picture with our phone, we could switch it to portrait mode and it blurs the background out. That is the original terminology is bokeh, or bokeh is the Japanese word. I actually grew up in Japan. And I know, but I know that if I started pronouncing it with the Japanese accent, everybody would kind of look at me funny and wonder what in the world I'm talking about. So we've just stuck with Boca to keep it simple, but that's the origination of that word.
People still don't know how to pronounce it anyway.
Fair.
But, you know, so you could have pronounced it whichever way you wanted to, and people would have been like, not coming to visit.
All right, I've derailed the train. I see it. I see where we're going. Nathan, thank you so much. I will include for everybody who's listening, the links to his podcast, his site, and also you were nice enough to give us a code for 50% off first order. So that's amazing. Thank you for that. But James, I'm awesome. Again, thank you for joining us. I really, really enjoyed this.
I appreciate it, Nathan, too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
All right.
Take care. Thank you, Nathan.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.